divine service, text number 16. Shushrushoshadadhanasya Vasudeva Katharuchi Syan Mahatsevaya Vipraha Punyatitha Nishevanath. Shushrusho, one who is engaged in hearing. Shradadhanasya, with care and attention. Vasudev, in respect to Vasudev. Katha, the message. Ruchi, affinity. Syat, is made possible. Mahat Sevaya, for service rendered to pure devotees. Vipraha, O twice born. Punya Tirtha, those who are cleansed of all vice. Nishevanat, by service. Translation. O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudev. Purport. The conditioned life of a living being is caused by his revolting against the Lord. There are men called Deva, or godly living beings, and there are men called Asuras, or demons, who are against the authority of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 16th chapter, a vivid description of the Asuras is given, in which it is said that the Asuras are put into lower and lower states of ignorance life after life, and so sink to the lower animal forms, and have no information of the Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead. These Asuras are gradually rectified to God consciousness by the mercy of the Lord's liberated servitors in different countries according to the Supreme Will. Such devotees of God are very confidential associates of the Lord, and when they come to save human society from the dangers of godlessness, they are known as the powerful incarnations of the Lord, as the sons of the Lord, as servants of the Lord, or as associates of the Lord. But none of them falsely claim to be God themselves. This is a blasphemy declared by the Asuras, and the demoniac followers of such Asuras also accept pretenders as God or his incarnations. In the revealed scriptures, there is definite information of the incarnations of God. No one should be accepted as God or an incarnation of God unless he is confirmed by the revealed scriptures. The servants of God are to be respected as God by the devotees who actually want to go back to Godhead. Such servants of God are called Mahatmas or Tirthas, and they preach according to particular time and place. The servants of God urge people to become devotees of the Lord. They never tolerate being called God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was God himself according to the indication of the revealed scriptures. But he played the part of a devotee. People who knew him to be God addressed him as God, but he used to block his ears with his hands and chant the name of Lord Vishnu. He strongly protested against being called God, although undoubtedly he was God himself. The Lord behaves so to warn us against unscrupulous men who take pleasure in being addressed as God. The servants of God come to propagate God consciousness, and intelligent people should cooperate with them in every respect. By serving the servant of God, one can please God more than by directly serving the Lord. The Lord is more pleased when he sees that his servants are properly respected, because such servants risk everything for the service of the Lord, and so are very dear to the Lord. The Lord declares in the Bhagavad Gita 18:69 that no one is dearer to him than one who risks everything to preach his glory. By serving the servants of the Lord, one gradually gets the quality of such servants, and thus one becomes qualified to hear the glories of the Lord. The eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shilakya Chakshur Unmiltamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachanam Pangum Rangayati Girim Yat Kripahatamam Vande Shri Guru Dhinatarinam Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadev, the author. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. O twice-born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudev. So, now we are pretty much midway in this chapter, Divinity and Divine Service. So, in this verse, the key is given to develop attraction for hearing the messages of Vasudev or Krishna. So, if one wants to develop an affinity, then it's mentioned that one has to serve the great devotees of the Lord, who have this taste for hearing the messages of Krishna. And this very and this remembrance of the Lord is considered to be the sword by which one can cut the binding knots of karma, as was mentioned in the previous verse. And in past few verses it was mentioned that the goal of life is actually to understand that we are the spirit soul, and that we actually have a relationship with the Absolute Truth, and the goal of life is to serve the Absolute Truth. And then the conceptions of the Absolute Truth were also described. So the Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan aspects of the Lord were described, though they are the same, but there's different gradations, and ultimately the Bhagavan feature includes all the other features. So the goal of life is actually to re-establish a relationship with Krishna, who is the Bhagavan aspect, and render service to him. And such service has to be done according to how one is placed in this material world. So whether we are placed, no matter what kind of occupation we are in, we just have to dovetail a life to serving the Lord. And by hearing, chanting, remembering and worshipping the Lord, one can actually become God conscious. So here it's mentioned that how to develop this taste. So as it's mentioned in the purport, there are always two classes of living beings. There's the suras and then there's the asuras. So asuras are the living beings who do not recognize the authority or proprietorship of God over everything. And they are also neglectful of the responsibility of the human form of life. So as we have heard so many times before, we attain this human form of life after going through 8.4 million species of life, or 8 million species of life, and then we attain the human form of life. So that is also a species. And this species gives us the ability to inquire. So that's what makes a human distinct from other species, that the human being has the ability to inquire into the nature of the self. And that's what primarily the human form of life is meant to, and everything else is secondary or supporting that primary function. So an asura is a living being who might not be aware of the great responsibility the human form of life affords. Therefore, in the human form of life we are awarded with greater facilities. So we are awarded with greater facilities because it comes with a higher form of responsibility. And in Ishopanishad, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a judge and a clerk. How the clerk, though he is working as hard as the judge, but he is given less facility because his level of responsibility is lesser than the judge. So that we see a judge is given so much facility. He is given security, he is given a nice bungalow, more money, and prestige. Yeah, that's a good point. He has prestige. When he walks in the courtroom, everyone stands up. Your Highness, everyone stands up. And when he sits down, they sit down. So because he has a higher level of responsibility, therefore he's given more facilities. So those who don't recognize the prime responsibility of human form life, or those who even know what the responsibility is but do not actually or those who are aware of the responsibility but are not engaging in self-realization, in acts of self-realization, they are also classified as asuras. So one might have the knowledge but not engaging oneself in devotional service. So an asura is not a person who has two horns sticking out or a tail at the back, or maybe two wings, or, you know, on his hands. So an asura can be anyone driving a nice car or walking down the road nicely dressed up. No, not like you. You're asura. basically asura is someone who is aware of this responsibility and who is acting in that capacity. So basically all the species of life, they're not aware of this prime responsibility. So even we see in the human form of life, they're not aware. So the asuras or the devotees who are aware of that, their whole aim of life is to enlighten the asuras. And by enlightening them and by engaging them in the Lord's service, they actually begin to get a taste for hearing the messages of Krishna. So here it is said that when one serves those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. So there's this verse in the teachings of Lord Rishabhdev in the fifth canto, the fifth chapter, I think, the second verse. The verse is quite similar to this. Here it says, Seyat Mahat Sevaya Vipraha. Mahat Sevaya means great service. So there's, in the teachings of Lord Rishabhdev, Lord Rishabhdev says that Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahur Vimuktes Tamo Dwaram Yoshitam Sangi Sangam Mahantaste Samachittaha Prashanta Vimanyavaha Surida Sadavoye. So Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahur Vimuktes. So depending on who we are serving, a certain kind of door or dwar is open. Like you go to Jagannath Puri, there's the Simha Dwar. So there's the different gates in order to enter the Jagannath temple. So when we are serving great personalities, the door for liberation is wide open. So here in this verse, whether one is serving impersonalists or personalists, a similar kind of door is wide open. So Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahur Vimuktes Tamo Dwaram Yoshitam Sangi Sangam. And if we don't serve Vaishnavas, then because by nature we are servants, so we will be serving another master who is conditioned by the three modes of nature. And then the door to hell is wide open. So we have to choose which kind of door we want to pass through. So the human form of life is a junction in which these different doors are there, and one has to make a choice. So we have to be aware of this prime responsibility of the human form of life. Without that awareness, we'll definitely choose the wrong door. So then, point is, who's a great soul? As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mahatmanas Tumam Partha Daivim Prakritim Ashrita Bhajanti Ananya Manaso Gyatva Bhutadim Avyayam. So Krishna says, O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the supreme personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. So basically, a great soul is someone who is 24/7 engaged in the devotional service of the Lord and is actually transcendental to the modes of material nature. So a Mahatma is not a stamp, a title. Of course, you are a Mahatma. You are living up to your name. Mahatma Das. So, a Mahatma is like, we have Mahatma Gandhi. And then he, in order to uplift the poor people, he titled them as Harijans. Harijan means one who is very dear to the Lord. Harijana. So simply by stamping, one cannot become a Mahatma, by rubber stamp, or by classifying somebody as Harijan. A Harijan is actually a very exalted title to be called, you know, your dear servitor of the Lord. So a Mahatma is someone who actually recognizes the proprietorship of Krishna over everything, and he recognizes that he's servant of Krishna and he's engaging in that capacity all the time. And by doing that, by surrendering their life in the disciplic succession, they are actually above the modes of nature. And they are actually placed in the internal potency of the Lord. So they are acting under the internal potency. So Daivim Prakritim Ashrita. So Prakriti is always feminine. So then Daivi means transcendental. So those who are not in the Daivi Prakriti, then we are in the other one, the Mahamaya. So then we are controlled by Durga Devi. So Durga Devi is also, she's feminine. So then we are under her shelter. So it is called Durashraya. So Durashraya means taking a bad shelter. So Ashraya means shelter and Dura means bad shelter. So what's that verse 7:14? Daivi Hiyesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya. So when we come in the material world, due to this desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, we are placed under the material, under the auspices of the material energy. And that material energy is called Durashraya. It is a bad shelter because it is giving us this false hope of enjoyment. So material energy is promising us so many kinds of things. You do this, you'll be happy. You act for your own benefit, you'll be happy. You act in a certain way, you'll find fulfillment, you'll find security, you'll find pleasure. You'll find everlasting happiness. But every time material energy promises us these things, we take shelter of the material energy and then the material energy chops our head off. So it is actually Durashraya, it is bad shelter. But because of lifetimes of conditioning, we are again and again taking shelter of the material energy. And every time a head is being chopped off. It's like, you know, so the material energy says, okay, come here, you know, put your head on my lap. It's a very nice lap, cozy, soft, and you know, you'll find a lot of comfort. So when we place our head, then it just cuts it off. So it is actually a bad shelter, but because people do not have proper knowledge, they do not have spiritual knowledge, therefore they are unable to see that their head is being chopped off every time, and their attempts for pleasure are being frustrated every time, but they still think that they will be able to find fulfillment and happiness. So those great devotees are those who know that material world is actually a Durashraya. It is actually a false shelter. It is actually a bad shelter. They know that by engaging in the internal potency of the Lord, that is the constitutional position. And therefore they are under the care of Srimati Radharani. So Srimati Radharani is the internal pleasure potency of the Lord. And this Radhashtami was on Monday. So when we engage in devotional service, that is under the direction of Srimati Radharani. And that's, in that way we actually become, our service is passed on to Krishna. We cannot actually approach Krishna directly. We cannot even approach Srimati Radharani directly. We have to go through the spiritual master. So it is said that that the great devotees, the Mahatmas, they are actually attracted to the two-arm form of Krishna. They don't even find the four-arm form of Narayan. It, of course, is attractive, but they find the form of two-arm form of Shamsundar most attractive. So as it's mentioned here that in this verse, Shushrusho Shraddha Dhanasya, Shraddha Dhanasya, with care and attention. So we see that this, our spiritual life, the process of the devotional service is actually a process. So it all begins with Shraddha. So this is this verse, Adav Shraddha Tatha Sadhu Sango Atha Bhajana Kriya Tato Anartha Nivriti Sya Tato Nishta Ruchi Satha Atha Saktis Tato Bhavas Tata prema vyudanjati sadakam ayam premnaha pradur bhave bhavet krama. So devotional service begins when we have some faith. So the faith is actually the beginning of devotional service. And as Keshava Prabhu was explaining very nicely on Tuesday, how we get this faith. So we get this faith by Agyata Sukriti. Agyata Sukriti means unknown devotional service. So by doing that, we start to develop this faith gradually. So, or even, it can even be appreciation of devotees in various ways. So you know, someone sees the Harinam party, and if they're chanting nicely, everything is in time, everything is very melodious. So they say, oh, this is so nice. Sounds so nice, you know, they look so happy. They're so colorful, and they're having such a good time. So when they're appreciating like that, they're actually, they don't know, but they're developing some faith. Or when they meet a devotee on book distribution, they say, oh, he's such a nice person. And his books are so nice. Such nice illustrations. So this appreciation is actually very good for them. Or when they come to Crossways and taste the prasadam, if it's not too salty, then they will actually develop appreciation. So by such activities, it's actually the responsibility of devotees that they do their service so nicely so that people develop appreciation. If we don't do our service nicely, then people will not appreciate it. So if they don't appreciate, they're not going to make any spiritual advancement. So for their sake, we should try to do our service nicely. So when people will appreciate us, or they see the temple is so clean, wow, so, you know, then they're developing some appreciation. This is the beginning of faith, adavush shraddha. So when this faith actually becomes mature, when they have enough piety, devotional piety, then they get the strength, or finally they get the strength to associate with devotees. So they say, okay, let me check out the Hare Krishnas, let me go to their talks and see what they're speaking, what is their philosophy. So either they come to Krishna Fest or the student program, or they come to a Sunday feast and hear a lecture. Yeah, sounds nice, makes some sense. I don't agree with everything, but they have some substance, there's some value behind that, and they seem to be nice. Prasadam is pretty nice, so I'll come back again. So like this, they come back again. Then the bar of faith is actually going up. And in the beginning, there's no taste at all. So then, as Kadambakarna Swami was mentioning in his previous visit, that it's not that we jump from Shraddha to Prem instantly. You know, you're at point zero, then you suddenly are at 100. You know, the graph just goes up like this. The graph rises very gradually. So all the bars, this faith, steadiness, ruchi, taste, attachment for the Lord, all these things gradually rise. So initially it's all like zero, almost zero. Of course it's there in the heart.
Anartha
Nivritti. Yes. Bhajana Kriya Anartha Nivritti. So initially it is all, the graph is very low, but then it all begins by faith. When we render some, then we come to the temple, then some devotee comes, like Bhakti Sahar Prabhu will come, Prabhu, can you please clean the prasadam hall? We need someone to serve the prasadam. So by doing like that, or can you come and do the divide? Or, you know, there's an emergency, someone hasn't done their service, can you come here? So by doing like that, our faith increases. And then one likes, okay, this is good, so we come to the temple every day, we move in with the devotees. And then after a while, one thinks, actually I should take initiation from a spiritual master to establish my connection formally with Krishna. So when one takes initiation, the process of we reach the stage of bhajana kriya. So bhajana kriya means that you begin to render devotional service under the guidance of a pure devotee. So a pure devotee is one, as mentioned here, who is freed from all vices. So it is recommended that one accept an uttama adhikari as one spiritual master. Of course, one can even accept a madhyam adhikari, but if we accept an Uttam Adhikari, then can make quick advancement. Or you can, Uttama Adhikari can take you to where he is. A Madhyam Adhikari can take you to a certain level. So when we accept the spiritual master, then Bhajana Kriya begins. So we're rendering devotional service. So then, this stage from Bhajana Kriya to Anartha Nivritti might seem like a very long journey, like forever. So, but we have to be very patient in rendering devotional service. So, we see this even in the instance of Srila Narada Muni, when he met Srila Vyasadeva, who was dissatisfied because he did not sufficiently glorify the Supreme Lord in his writings. Then he asked him to compile the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Narada Muni also said that he described his own life. So Narada Muni mentioned that previously he was the son of a maid servant. So, you know, a maid servant is not someone very qualified or not someone very educated, at least back in those days. So he was the son of a maid servant, which means he didn't have facility for education or much material facilities. But his mother was, during the Chaturmasya period when it rains very heavily, the sadhus would come and reside in one place. And then his mother was rendering service to these Bhakti Vedantas, or these great souls. And so somehow he also got engaged. So we see that he was engaged in the service of the great devotees. So he was just doing very simple service. We should not underestimate the potency of the service we are doing. And we should take our service actually very, very seriously. So he was doing very, very simple things, like he was washing their garments, you know, cleaning their plates after prasadam, serving them prasadam, eating the remnants. And by doing that, he actually got a taste for devotional service. Of course, he was only, how old was he at that time? 5 years old? Of course, his application was very good. Therefore, he immediately, you know, reached perfection. In our case, there's some problem in our application. Therefore, we are not achieving the results immediately. But nonetheless, the process is working. So by his proper application of the process of devotional service, he actually got a taste for hearing the glories of the Lord. And by doing so, he actually reached a stage of Anartha Nivritti, in which all the unwanted things or contaminations were destroyed. And once that happened, he became steady and he developed a taste for hearing the glories of the Lord. So in our conditioned state, we really don't have a taste. If we had a taste for hearing the glories of the Lord, then our japa would be very, very attentive. Or we would be chanting 300,000 names, like Haridas Thakur. So we can't do that. We see even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, before he began his preaching activities, he went into seclusion for, I think, 2 years. And he chanted, how many names? 1 billion or 1 billion? He chanted 1 billion names of the Lord. That's all he was doing, all the time. So if we don't have a taste, we can't do that all the time. Or even in Bhagavatam class, we get restless. We can't hear a lecture for a very long time. Therefore, the lectures have to be entertaining. They shouldn't be very monotonous. You know, you have to say, do these things to enliven the audience. Because we don't have this taste. So we acquire this taste by, for us it's very important to, therefore, render devotional service. So to take our devotional service very seriously. And I was speaking with Muchukunda Prabhu last night, and he brought up this very interesting point where Srila Prabhupada said that, I think it's one of the excerpts of Srila Prabhupada, that in regarding book distribution, he tells this devotee that, correct me if I'm wrong, that this devotee says that, I don't have a taste for reading the books. Then Prabhupada says, fine, you just distribute the books. And what analogy is? The son of a rich man. What's that analogy you were mentioning? You forgot? Last night we were discussing. regarding book, relating to book distribution. Distribute the books. Yeah, so if someone is not very inclined to study the books, Prabhupada said, okay, fine, you just distribute the books. So what is actually happening is, even if somebody doesn't have a taste, but they're distributing the glories of the Lord, but because they're doing that, they're actually doing that under the instruction of a pure devotee. So whether they realize it or not, they're actually serving a pure devotee. So this process is happening. They're serving someone who is free from all vice, and then therefore they develop a taste for reading those books. So initially we don't have that taste, but by taking our service seriously, which is given by a spiritual master or the representative of the spiritual master, then we are actually developing this affinity to hear the messages of the Lord. And when we sufficiently hear the glories of the Lord, then gradually we will develop this remembrance of the Lord. And this remembrance is the sword which cuts off all our knots. So knots is not only in our muscles. You know, you got a knot in your muscle. Someone presses, there's a knot there. Knot is actually in our heart. So Hridaya Grantham, it's in our heart. So by remembering the Lord, this knot of material attachment is actually cut. So the sword of that is the sword of remembrance. It is not a sword made out of any other kind of metal. So with any other sword you can cut a body, or you can hurt someone. But with the sword of remembrance, if we are remembering Krishna, then we can actually cut off this karma, as is mentioned in the previous verse. So in the process, So the beginning of bhajana kriya is actually to take initiation. So when one takes initiation, one engages in this process of bhajana kriya. So till one reaches this point of anartha nivritti, and that might be a long time, and it is worth to endeavor in such a kind of a way, because if we have even studied outside, if we take a degree in medicine, how many years does that take? It takes 8, 9, 10, 12 years. Or if you do a PhD, or even if you have a career, when people work outside, they are prepared that, mentally they are prepared that they are going to work for 20, 30, 40 odd years. So, similarly, we should not get discouraged if anartha nivritti doesn't take place tomorrow or in a year's time. So, we need this patience. So, this patience is one of the principles which can advance our spiritual life. So if we are perseverant, then we keep on engaging in the process of devotional service properly, then one day we will actually reach the stage of anartha nivritti. So the beginning is like we give up the four pillars of sinful activities. Therefore we follow the four regulative principles: no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex, and chanting 16 rounds every day without fail. So these four things are actually anarthas. Anartha means unwanted things. It is not required. So basically our constitutional position is hearing the nine items of devotional service. Anything apart from that is basically an anartha. But to begin with, we give up these four things, and then the other things we'll give up later. So in this day and age, you know, people find this very difficult to give up these four things. And in one sense, that's why we don't get so many followers in Krishna consciousness movement. Because at the end of the day, people have to give up things. We are asking them to give up the four pillars of sin. And especially the fourth one. Yesterday I was reading an article, it was quite hilarious, regarding illicit sex in France. You know, if you tell someone to give up sex life, they'll think you're nuts. You know, what's wrong with you? So, in France, there's this ex-wife who sued her ex-husband because she sued him, and she won the case because he did not satisfy her sexually in the marriage. So that was how she sued him. And she won the case because the judge said that it is your right to actually to get this kind of affection. So therefore, and she sued him for $14,000 and she won. So this shows that that has become the norm of life. So these are actually unwanted things. So, but when we engage in this process of bhajana kriya, we gradually give up these unwanted things, and then we reach the stage of anartha nivritti. And then we will actually develop steadiness, and then we will have a taste for hearing the glories of the Lord. So till then, we have to actually... So, of course, hearing is very important. It's not that we only do service. If we didn't hear, we won't be inclined to do service. So therefore, hearing is the first item of devotional service. And therefore, even if we see the morning program, it is nothing but hearing. So we hear the holy name, we hear kirtan, and then we hear Srimad Bhagavatam class. And apart from that, we have to study the books. A couple of hours every day. That's good if you can. 1 or 2 hours we study the books. Hear lectures. So there's a lot of hearing going on, hearing kirtans. But it's not that we hear all day. All day all we are doing is, you know, hearing lectures or classes. 2 hours, sufficient. Then rest of the time, we have to engage in practical devotional service. We have to engage our senses all the time. Because we are very restless by nature. We are in the modes of passion. So if we don't engage in the service of the Lord, then we will actually fall down from the platform. So the hearing is primary, and then service has to go on. And then we will actually get this taste. So it's like we have taste for certain kinds of prasadam. So maybe someone likes gulabs or someone likes pakoras. We have a taste, therefore we can have it again and again. So without taste, we can't even eat certain kind of food stuff. So by serving a pure devotee, we get that taste. As we sing every morning, yasya prasadad, yasya prasadad, yasya, what is it? Bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadat nagati kutopi. So by serving the devotees, pure devotee, one gets the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, one gets the mercy of a pure devotee. So the mission of this Krishna consciousness movement is actually to create a taste. So these great devotees, they travel all over the world at the expense of their own life. And if we see our history, it is very rich with so many examples of pure devotees who have sacrificed their lives to establish the glories of the Lord. And we even see those devotees who have a taste, who are on the platform of Ruchi or Prema, like Srila Prabhupada. They had such a high taste, but still they were engaging in devotional service. They were not hearing the glories of the Lord all day and night, because the world is suffering so much, and therefore they are creating opportunities of service to spread this mission of the Lord. So we can't say we can wanna study all day. So we have, even if a pure devotee is engaged in service, so we should also be engaged, even if we have that taste. Any questions? Comments?
As you said very clearly, one comment is that it's an illusion if we think that we can be happy in the material world. Like your example, that lady might have won $2,000, but still she won't be happy in any material activity unless she
says,
"Hello, the sweet of Krishna."
Yes, thank you. Anything else? Srila Prabhupada ki.